Amen. It's really a privilege to be here, but let me continue in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we can glorify your name, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for each person that is here this morning, Lord, and thank you, Father, for the team that has prepared this place this morning, the worship team, Lord, and every intercessor, Father, every person that is serving, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are doing a special work here in Somerset West, Father. And I just sense, Lord, that you are releasing a special sense of a unity, Lord, but also an urgency, Father, to know you, Lord, and to see you, Lord. And this morning, Lord, we glorify your name and we thank you, Jesus, that you are the giver of life, that you are the one that saves. And this morning we declare that over this place, Lord, over Somerset West, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. What a privilege it is to be here with you guys this morning. There's many faces that I know and many faces that I'm seeing for the first time, but it's really, really special to bring the word here this morning. As you know, I live just up the road and I literally walked to church this morning. It was such a blessing just to not have to get in the car at like 6 o'clock to drive through to Stellenbosch. So it's really, really awesome to be here. But this morning, what did Jaco say earlier? He said, we are all a champion this morning, eh? Wasn't that wonderful that we actually won the World Cup yesterday, eh? Wow, huh? We can celebrate that. Sure, I didn't expect that one yesterday, and I must tell you the story. So, three weeks ago, I was on holiday for a couple of days, and Sias, who's the head pastor in Stellenbosch, sent me a WhatsApp, and he said, listen, do you think for the game against Wales, we should cancel the Afrikaans service? Because it would be like empty. There would be nobody that comes to watch the rugby. Some of you guys look a bit shocked. But in any case, so I said, no. We can never cancel a service for rugby. And I said, no, I'll put my hand up. I'll do the service. I'd rather take that opportunity to bring the word of God. And what was really, really interesting that there was really a few people that actually came. Most of the people went to the earlier service, and but there were a couple of new people that actually came for the first time, and it was such a privilege to bring the word of God. And we fortunately also finished a little bit earlier, like 10 minutes into the second half, and we joined another church, One Hope Church in Stellenbosch, to watch the rugby together. So our whole congregation went down to Eikenstad, and we went to watch the rugby with them. And so when I got there, it was that beautiful moment, well, maybe not so beautiful, where there was a clash of a giant and a small guy. So I walked in and I see, oh my goodness, what's going on here? But fortunately, from there on, there was really, they started to up the game and they started to play, but still, it was probably a very tense game to watch. And I remember Delita telling me that while she was sitting there, she was like praying one of those prayers that we sometimes pray. And she said, Lord, I really pray that you will give this game to the country that needs it the most. I don't know if it was only her prayers that he heard, but so we went through, and I just sensed like that the Lord is doing something special in our midst, and it's almost like the southeaster that is blowing. You know, when the southeaster blows, it's actually so horrible. It just blows everything away, but it's got an amazing purpose. It actually takes all the mist and all of that stuff away, and it brings a beautiful clarity. So this morning, We're not going to continue with rugby stories, but we're going to focus on the one that saves and the one that really loves us. And he's the one that has actually already won the victory. I was sitting yesterday morning, one last rugby story, and I was thinking, who's going to win this game? And I was really not sure who was going to win the game. And so I was sitting there, and when we won last night, when I reflected, and I thought, yo, this was really unexpected, but how would they have played if they knew that they already won? I think the score would probably have been double if they knew that they have to relax on every bit and they can just go full out. And God just dropped that into my spirit last night, and I really believe that is who we are. We are part of that winning team. We, our Lord and Savior, He's already won the victory. Amen? Hallelujah! It makes me think of our outreach to Mozambique earlier this year. We were a couple of families, I think I told you guys last time, and 10 children and 6 parents, and so the children actually took us on a mission. But we have this one special guy in our team. His name is Vidius Ferreira. Maybe some of you guys know him. But he's so passionate and on fire for the Lord. So when we got to this church, and they maybe a little bit more on the reserve side, every now and then, Vidius, when he was bringing the message, he would say, Hallelujah! And the whole church like shocked, and then they were awake. So, Hallelujah! Now I need to find all my notes here. I put my slides on, and then I start to write with a pen on the screen. So sometimes it's really difficult to see what I actually wrote. So let's start with Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and a very important part, glorify your Father in heaven. See, when I was preparing for this message, I titled it Church on a Hill, and you can also title it A City on a Hill. But isn't it so profound that this congregation is set on this amazing hill that overlooks this whole beautiful area? Now, these screens are closed. I remember I had difficulty when we started out many years ago in this facility. And many times my eyes would wander. But because the view is beautiful, so they close this down now. But maybe a bit prettier than me. But the message this morning is, we can see this view, but what is in this view? And we'll get to that part at the end of my message this morning. But what I was experiencing is that God is wanting to release something over our church as a refocus or a realignment. And whenever there's a realignment or a refocus, it's always to focus us back on Jesus. Now, this scripture is really such a profound scripture that you, each one of you that is sitting here, tell the person that's sitting next to you, you are the light of the world. Okay, now say, I am the light of the world. That's a difficult one to say. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, this part at the end is really pertinent, because whatever we do, it should not, never be focused on ourselves. It should always make people draw closer to God, that they see God, that they glorify Him. We are called to live like shining lights before men. People will see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Isn't that so amazing that when we follow Jesus and really follow Jesus, people will start to see Jesus and glorify Him? And that is the question for us this morning. Are we following Jesus? Are we seeing Him? And are the things that we do, is it aligning up so that God can be glorified? I really love the words that we sang this morning and all the worship songs, and even before we started this morning, it was about restoring hope, restoring our focus and our eyes on Jesus, because He's the wonderful Savior. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12 says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." You see, this morning, the hard part of this is that we need to abstain from fleshly lusts. See, many times our lives are exactly the same as the lives of the person that is living next door to us that doesn't know Jesus. And this morning, my question is, and my reflection is, are we abstaining from those lusts? Are we powerful enough, filled with the Holy Spirit, to only be led by His Spirit? A couple of years ago, C.S. tells this story about this wedding that he went to. And he doesn't drink alcohol. And at this wedding, there was this like 100-year-old champagne that was opened up. And he was thinking, yo, this stuff must really taste amazing. I mean, this stuff is like so ancient, and they opened this, it must have cost a fortune, and they poured everybody around just a little bit of this champagne. And as he was about to take a sip, the Lord just said, "Don't take a sip." And he thought like, wow, this must really taste well. But he left it there. You know what? Afterwards, the story that he heard was there was a guy that was a full-on alcoholic. And he was watching the guy that brought the message with eyes like eagle. He was like zoomed in on him, because he said, if that guy drinks, then surely God will allow me also to drink. And that evening, his life was touched because somebody was obedient to the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want us to open our ears so that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let our conduct be honorable so that people can glorify God. And this morning, I also want to honor a couple of people, but it is actually God that I'm honoring. If I think of a couple of people that the Lord just laid on my heart this morning, I'm not sure if she's still here, but Kobe, are you still here? Here you are in front. It's just so amazing to see how you are following Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to continue to follow Jesus. That what you are doing for those two little ones is really making a massive impression on those two children. And I want you to stand strong in Him, because He's going to do amazing things through your life. And you are living an example for each one of us. See, I was jogging earlier this week. Maybe my body doesn't look like I'm jogging, but but I was jogging up the hills the other day here up in Elderberg, and I saw all these beautiful houses. And there was this sadness that actually came over me as I was jogging, and I just saw these beautiful houses. And it was as if the Lord was telling me, look at these houses. Look at the people that is living in these houses. Surely they can be used to alleviate the problems that we have here in our midst. If we just look that way. There's a massive big township with people that is living, like my little boy says, stick in the ISIS. And yet, there are people that is living here that can make a difference. And my prayer this morning is really that the Lord will move us into a place where we can see what Jesus wants us to do, even in the midst of difficult times. I think the wind of yesterday came like the southeaster, and it actually took a lot of all the gemors that was in the air out. But let's realign our focus on Jesus. Amen? Bringing tough word this morning. Then there's some business people here this morning that I'm not going to name this morning, but you are busy realigning your business so that God's kingdom can come. And that is so encouraging to see that people take their secular businesses and align that business in a way so that God's kingdom can come. From supplying finances, from bringing the liberty to the staff members to actually pursue the call that is on their lives. There's one specific company that I'm aware of that has structured their business in such a way that they actually tell their staff members that they can take on a project or something for the kingdom. And one of them is going up into Africa to go and farm or help people farm up in Africa. There's so many opportunities, but it's just so amazing to see how that is being released from our midst here in Somerset West. And I want to congratulate you guys for following Jesus and keeping Him the main thing and following Him without compromise. Amen? This is supposed to be encouraging also, eh? Luke 8:16-18. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. We'll get back to that one. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and to whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. I want to tell you a little bit of a lighter story about the truth that comes out in a lampstand that was almost stolen. So, a couple of months ago, one Saturday evening or Sunday morning early, our alarm at the office went off. And when we got to the office on the Monday, the guy that's looking after the complex told us that somebody came to steal a light box. Now, we've got the signage that is on the outside of our church. And whenever it becomes night, then the lights automatically goes on. And so somebody came in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and they actually came to pull that light off. And we checked the video footage, and lo and behold, two students, well, what we thought was students, came in the middle of the night, and they actually came to take this light box. I mean, I don't know if any of you went to Corsairs, but sometimes the guys and that's in some of the courses, they go and take, they go and steal things and plant it and keep it in their corridor as like a trophy or something like that. I remember one day when we were still living here in Scholes Road, my friends also used to do things like that. They are my friends. And the one morning we got up and when my dad walked out by the front door, he saw the whole garden. We didn't have a fence around our house. The whole garden, everything was full of for sale boards. So my friends, in the middle of the night, took all the for sale boards in the whole Somerset West and planted it all over our house. Fortunately, I knew who it was, but I didn't confess. But in any case, so many times this truth comes out, or the secret is revealed at the worst possible time. Now, this secret of the light box was also it also came to the light, and so we didn't know who it was, and we left the whole thing, and we just continued, and then about 3 weeks ago, one of our students came to us, and he said he was at a 21st, and lo and behold, he was sitting in this lounge area, and he looks at the wall, but something looks different. It looks strange. Something doesn't fit in here. And then his eyes opens up, and he sees, but this is a shofar light box that is here in the middle of the lounge. And he actually just went to the 21st, he says, to have fellowship with the guys and to really, meet them. But in any case, so then he came to tell us, and there was a police case that was opened, and the inspector came, and he said, well, let's go and fetch the light box. So I'm brave. Yes, okay. We're going to go and fetch the light box. Now, I must admit that I was also a very naughty student. So thank the Lord that he forgave me for all those wickedness and all the things that we did. But in any case, so here we go to their place, and I've never seen, as we engaged, two young guys as white as the guys that opened the door. They were like pale, and they said, no, they just picked the sign up. And so I started to engage with them, and we started to walk a journey. I said, listen, we don't want to continue to take the case further, but we've got one thing that we want you guys to do for us, almost like a community service. And now every Sunday morning for 8 Sundays, they need to either come and help with set up or sit down at church and sit in the service. So you guys can continue to pray with us, because last week was their first service, and they were still joking a little bit and making fun and light of it. But I really believe that the Lord, especially with one of the guys, he's got a plan, and it normally comes out when you least expect it. So this morning, how do you hear? Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and to whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. And my time is running out very quick. So this morning when I walked in, I saw Dirk Jan with his orange jersey, and his son had a green jersey on, and I said, well, he's got the right jersey on, being the green jersey. And then I looked at Dirk Jan and I said, no, but you actually have the right jersey on with that orange. Now, Dirk Jan is the pastor in our Utrecht congregation, and they are visiting, so welcome here this morning. I didn't expect to see you guys, but it's really awesome to have you and to also see you. You guys are doing really awesome work out there in Utrecht, and we hear amazing things that is happening over there. But in any case, so he's got this orange jersey on, which is sort of in a way tying in with a message this morning without him knowing. So we are in this special family. Have you ever thought what was the meaning of the church that you come to? Who knows what the meaning is of our church's name? Some people pronounce it very interesting. I've heard like shofar and all sorts of different pronunciations. Every time when somebody says a strange one, there was even at a time that shofar was spelled S-H-O-P-H-A-R. And some people said shopar. But in any case, shofar is a ram's horn. And this morning, I'm just quickly going to read something. So I always thought it was quite an interesting name, very Jewish. But shofar is actually just a ram's horn, and it was a musical instrument that they used to do a lot of things to declare war, a call to repentance, prepare for war, gather together, praise the Lord, and to proclaim. And this is from the website. Our name, shofar, is the, so there's the correct spelling, shofar, or pronunciation, is the Hebrew word for the ceremonial ram's horn. In biblical times, the shofar had several uses, all of which are significant to who we are. It was used to announce the advent of times and seasons. It was a pitcher for the oil used for anointing and inducting kings and priests. It also signaled a summons to war. The shofar is a metaphor for prophetic urgency, authority, and mobilization. And I really believe that there's so much power actually in a name. And I really believe that the Lord is calling us as a body to take that position as being that prophetic voice in South Africa. See, we've gone through a lot of wars, through a lot of difficult times, but I really believe that the Lord is raising people out in this congregation to shine the light in this Helderberg area so that His kingdom can be seen, so that He can be glorified. Now I've got another question. Don't show the next slide. Each one of us that is sitting here, you are believers. Well, most of you are believers, I believe. But what do we call ourselves? Don't put it on. Say again. Christians, disciples. Who knows what Christian means? Put up your hand if you know. isn't that... Brand was at cell on Wednesday evening. But the word Christian is derived from the word Christ. And many people don't know what the word Christian actually means. But yet we call ourselves Christian. But before I go there, I really love Khoza names, because those names many times says who that person is. And if you don't know what your name means, I want to encourage you to go and look up what the spiritual meaning of your name is. And there will be some of you will really be amazed at what you see when you see what your name actually means. So the first time that Christians were called Christians is in Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, that's Paul, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So let's look at the word Christ. You see, Christian, or the word Christ, means anointed one. Now, if we are Christian, it means that we are little anointed ones. Little anointed ones. But let's go and look at what that anointed one. I just want to go to a scripture in Luke 4 from verse 17 to 20. Then we can have a greater understanding of what that anointed, or what Christ means. Now this is Jesus speaking, and we'll go a little bit back, a little bit, my English. I just use English for self-defense, hey, Brunt? Luke 4, verse 17 to 20. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, that's Jesus. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, this is Jesus speaking in the temple. And this is so profound. And he's speaking about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. We had a mission t-shirt many years ago when I went on our first mission to India. Now, Jan Kor and Sandra, that's sitting there at the back, they were actually part of that team. I can't remember. I think they were also leading the team. But we had this t-shirt that had this imprinted on it. And that t-shirt made such a profound statement and impact in my life that I really lost my heart on the mission field. I really lost my heart for those that are lost, that don't know Jesus. And you see, we don't have to go to India to realize that there are lost people that is living around us. Now, I've got this neighbor, and I have to be quick, that doesn't believe in Jesus. Elderly gentleman that I'm really praying that he will meet Jesus before he dies. You see, he's terminally ill with cancer. And his time is running out. But there's an urgency to connect with him and to share the gospel with him. At this stage, I'm just loving him. Every now and then when we meet each other, when my children is in the cul-de-sac, busy cycling, he comes out and we have these amazing chats. And now he says, but Eugene, I can really be your friend. I really like you, but this Christian thing, I can't see that. I don't know how that works. I just don't have faith. But you see, there's an urgency for me to connect with him. And what was really encouraging is a couple of weeks ago, about 2 months ago, there was somebody that came to give the, you know those plastic bags that we use for recycling? Yes? You know those bags? So somebody came, and it was Tuesday, and the gentleman came, and he gave me one of those bags. And you know, every opportunity that when we meet somebody, we can share the gospel, we can share our life story with them. And in any case, I was starting to speak with this gentleman, and I realized, but he also knows Jesus. And what was so encouraging was we started to talk about that neighbor. And he was telling me, no, he met the gentleman a couple of weeks ago, and he's also sharing the gospel with him. He told him, well, the reason that you are still alive and that you haven't passed on is because of Jesus. And this guy says, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in miracles. But there's people that is coming to bring that message. We need to bring the message of the gospel to those that are living around us. And that is what the call of urgency is this morning. Because we are part of that winning team. So who are we called to? Preach the gospel to the poor? Who can you identify? Who can I identify that is around us, that is poor, that is brokenhearted, that is captive, that is blind, that's oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord? You see, each one of us, we are living around people that doesn't know Jesus. There where we work, there might be opportunities. On the street, there might be opportunities. There are so many opportunities that surrounds us. But many times we fall in this trap of not being focused on Jesus. And this morning I want to encourage you that we are the winning team. We are a part of the winning team. I mean, we all phoned everybody yesterday to tell them, "Woo, we won." Hey? We won yesterday, the World Cup. And I want us to have that same passion for Jesus. To tell people around us what is that hope that is living in us. Who is he? And you see, when that is living in us, that will bubble. It will come out like living water, like a fountain. It will not be able to stop because of his goodness and his kindness. It's his goodness and his kindness that leads us to repentance. And if we look at South Africa, many people are moving. I was in a meeting yesterday or on Friday with Ryan that is doing really Cause for Justice, that's also in the congregation here, that's really doing amazing work. And we're trying to see what we can do to mobilize people in the WIP, in the school, to really get together about the new education that they want to enroll next year. And it was, yeah, because there's a massive onslaught that is coming our way. It's actually been coming a long time already. The past 8, 9, 10 years, it's been coming. But it means that we as believers, we need to stand up. We need to take that first step. And in our meeting, I was somewhat discouraged, encouraged, and encouraged. Because there were people that was standing up. There was people that joined. But there was only one person that actually joined me for this meeting. And what made it even a little bit more sad was, after we had the whole conversation, the person that joined me said, "Well, I'm not too sure why I'm taking part in this battle, because next year we are moving to America." And I was like really despondent, because many times that is how we feel on the inside. We want to go somewhere else. Yes, if the Lord is calling you to go somewhere else, if you're going on mission, if you are going, then go as the Lord leads. But don't go because of fear. Only go where the Lord leads. And that is why we are here, is to bring that hope. I know of another ministry that they're busy moving their headquarters from America to Johannesburg. And the only reason why they are moving their headquarters to Johannesburg is because they can see that South Africa is in a hopeless situation. And they're trusting the Lord and understanding the call of the Lord to preach the gospel to the poor, the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, this ministry can take many forms, from people that's living on the street, to orphans, to the neighbor that is living next to you. There is, however, a cost. Now, this is the difficult part. I hope you are all encouraged to go out. So Luke 4:21, "And he began to say to them," so that's just the next part, that's Jesus speaking, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then they said, "Is this not Joseph's son? I mean, this is the guy that grew up over here." And many times that is what people say when we want to take that stand. Isn't that just Petrus that lived there in Flock Street number 5? Or Johnny that comes from there? Isn't it just him? And then the persecution came. "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff." See, many times when we step out, there will be a persecution. There will be a cost. But I want to encourage you not to hold back, but count the cost. Count the cost. The next scripture in Luke 9:23-26 says, "Take up the cross and follow him. Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels.'" See, the real cost here is actually to die to ourselves. It's not the devil. Ek het so lekker gelag die ander dag. Sias was preaching and he said, "Who is your number one enemy?" And you take your finger like this. And then he pointed it like this. And then he said, okay, do it not to the person sitting next to you. And some people were like, you. But it's us, ourselves, that is many times our greatest enemy. A couple of weeks ago, we've got this training school in Stellenbosch called ISLS. Who's heard of ISLS? It's almost like the ISIS of the Christian world. International Sports Leadership Ministry. And what they do at ISLS, International Sports Leadership School, what they do at ISLS is they take missionaries from all over the world and they equip them for 3 months in sports ministry. So people come from all over the world and they some of them are married, some of them have little children, and then they come and they get equipped to go and use sports as a ministry tool to reach people. And a couple of weeks ago they had their closing ceremony and they used our facility to actually have the last session with the guys. And as I was walking past and just greeting John, he said, "No, but please come here. Just after lunch, you will do our last closing session in 2 minutes or 3 minutes." And I was like, ooh, what am I going to tell these young people that they're literally laying their lives down and they can't wait to see their families and they're going back tomorrow? And then the Lord just laid this following scripture that is so well known to us, Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you.'" And this part struck me between the eyes. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, one of the girls came afterwards and she was literally in tears because for the first time she realized this last part that Jesus says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, there's a call. First thing that I see in the scripture is that he has given us authority. We can disciple all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This one part is also verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's discipleship. And he's with us. Now the game plan, the last part, before we close off. If any of you want the slides, we'll post it up. I'll give it through to Yaku. We're going to skip that part. You guys can, at your own time, go and read through that Rassi's game plan. Didn't it work? Eh? But this is an amazing game plan that we need to follow. But the first thing that I want to mention in this is that when we go out on mission, it's both a knowing and a going. Knowing who we are and where we are going, where he's leading. And I want to close with this next scripture in Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's stand this morning. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father, that we can glorify your name, Lord. And Jesus, this morning, I pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. Those that are not seeing you so clearly, Lord, that is maybe feeling just so far from you, Lord. Like Derkian had that word in the beginning, Lord. That this morning, Father, that you will comfort us and that you will show us who you are, Lord. Lord, in those areas where we are in compromise or where we are stuck, Lord, that this morning, Lord, that we will confess the truth, Father. That we will exalt your name above every other name, Lord. And Lord, that our lights, that it will shine so bright that other people will see you and that they will recognize you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are so good, Lord. That you love us so much, Lord. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll release an urgency in our midst, Lord. To see those that don't know you, Lord. To walk a road with those that don't know you, Lord. To lay our time down, Lord. To get our priorities, Lord. Back on you, Lord. And Lord, those areas where we strived and tried in our own strength, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us. And this morning, Lord, we see you as the champion of the universe, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This morning we declare you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over our lives. I just sense that there might be some of us that you sort of want to connect, but there's like this disconnect, same like that word that Derkian had. But the Lord is calling us to come to him. To lay all the pretenses and all the attempts that we tried by ourselves, to lay it down. Because he wants to connect with us. He wants to take, to see all those things grow strangely dim as we focus our eyes on Jesus. And there's also some of us here this morning sort of lost your hunger to go where Jesus calls. This morning the Lord is calling you back. Come, be part of his game plan. This morning, we thank you, Jesus, that we can also take communion, Lord. And Lord, as we take communion this morning, Lord, may our eyes, Lord, open for our town, Lord, to see what you see in this town, Lord. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you will come and do a special thing in our midst, Lord, to release an urgency, Lord, to release the good news through us, Lord, so that your name can be glorified, to release the laborers out of Somerset West, Lord, into the harvest, Lord, in Somerset West. Before we take communion, if there's anybody here this morning that wants to reconnect your life with Jesus, you are feeling so far from Him right now, and you are experiencing that He's drawing you close, and I want you to come to me so that we can pray together. Because the Lord is good. Amen. If there's anybody that needs prayer, even if you experience that it's like an alignment that God is wanting to shift in your life, I want you to respond so that we can pray together. For the rest, you're welcome to take communion, but as you take communion, I want you to do it in twos and really bring this town before the Lord and your hearts, that He will show you what He sees for this town. The communion is on the right hand side in front. To anybody that needs prayer, you're welcome to come forward, and those of you that still have some time, take some coffee, drink it with some of your friends, and enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the Sunday. God bless you.